Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. And yep, show is still going strong. But today this isn't loud. This is the arena most people don't talk about. It's the quiet one. Ideally the one where your life is actually being shaped, not the big dramatic moments, but I think really those small decisions that nobody sees, maybe in the conversations that you avoid, or the habits that you keep, or the way you show up when absolutely nothing exciting is happening. Because let's be honest, most people are waiting for the big moment to change their life. And I don't say that out of judgment. I've done it. I've done it for a very long time. Meanwhile, like, your life is already changing. Just you're not being intentional about it. And I believe this with everything in me. God did not create you to drift through life on autopilot. He created you to live in your highest potential, to pay attention, to build something meaningful, and to bring other people with you when you do. You're called to be contagious, courageous, magnetic, and your mess is not always loud. It's sometimes quiet. The missed chances, the slow pivots, the seasons where you don't even realize you're becoming someone new. That's your message. So if you've been thinking your story isn't big enough to matter, you're wrong. Because the arena isn't always chaos. Sometimes it's consistency. And I'm very excited to introduce you guys to Chip Schultz. That's today's guest. He's the kind of voice that doesn't try to impress you. He makes you think. And already, I'm setting up myself to be curious, curious about the episode, curious about the conversation. Okay. He's a storyteller, executive coach, and he spent years working with leaders and navigating change. Which obviously brings uncertainty and growth. But I'm not going to tell you about his whole story. That's why I brought him here. So you guys don't have to hear me talking all about it. So I want to say, Chip, thank you so much and welcome to the hot seat. And I throw everybody in the hot seat. And my first question really is, I want your elevator pitch. Who are you and what do you do?
I've never been good at elevator pitches,
Nobody is. That's
you
why
know.
I do it.
As you said, I'm an executive coach. I've been coaching for almost 30 years. I'm a storyteller. I love to tell stories because stories are our heart and soul, and nobody needs a PowerPoint with data. We just need to tell a great story. And then I'm also a woodturner. And I got into wood turning about 13 years ago, and love it. If you're going to be on video, you can see the results of a lot of the wood turning that I do. It's all those things behind me I've made, and I just you know that's where you know that's where I let my artistic bend get out, and that has influenced everything else that I do.
Yeah. I love that, letting the artistic side kind of support everything you're doing in your life. And I think that's where I see that, you talk about those small moments. When did you actually realize that? Like, the small moments are what shape your life. And when did you realize that was the
It's,
truth?
you know, I've noticed that through my coaching all along, but it was a dawning realization. You were mentioning Small Decisions. That's a book that I wrote in October, and or it was released in October, and it's about my coaching. But you know, I had the opportunity to really put it into practice when I had a stroke in 2012. You know, I had to dig really deep and make those small decisions that would lead to the big shifts. And the small decisions were decisions about my health. You know, I lost 110 pounds after the stroke. I started walking like crazy and did some other things, and then found the lathe and just made a lot of changes. So, you know, we all I think your intro was great
Yeah.
because we all wait for those big things to happen. You know, I'm going to win the lottery. And what do they call that? Redneck retirement plan is win the lottery. It isn't that. It isn't those bolts of lightning. It's what you're doing in the meantime. It's what you're doing when you get up in the morning. You know, I think people have a lot of courage that get up every morning and go to work
Yeah.
and take care of their families and do the things they need to do and go to church on Sundays. And, you know, that to me is more courageous than somebody's, you know, somebody that has a courageous act. And the courageous act, I don't want to discount away
Right,
from that, but it's the courage of showing up.
yeah.
And I think that is so important, is just the courage of showing up. I've got three daughters, and I learned a long time ago that it wasn't about shaping them. It wasn't about being a foreman. It was about showing up for them and being there for them. I've got three beautiful women that are all part of that.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Going back to what you said, and I just want to point this out for the listeners. Like I said in the beginning, people do wait for the big thing, the big moment, and it's not just in the version of success. Also, like people wait to change their life until they have a big moment. Like you said, you had a stroke, and I think they wait for things like that. The scary, the health scare. The big health scare. So many people just wait for that before they actually start to steward like what makes their body healthy and what makes them feel good. I think a lot of times we take it for granted and we don't really nurture that. So I just want to point that out, that waiting for the bad thing before you start to do the good thing is also not the greatest experience in life. What would you say, like, what is one of the most memorable small decisions in your life that ended up changing everything for you?
I go back to how I met my wife,
Okay.
and she came in looking for a job, and I didn't hire her, but ended up marrying her, and it was just when I first met her, she was looking for a job, and she was married, and I wasn't that kind of a guy, and even though I liked her, and there was a spark there. It was another year and a half before she was finally doing another job. And she happened to call me. She was a telemarketer at the time. She happened to call me because the company that I worked for was in her territory, and we just picked up right back where we started. Except this time she wasn't married.
Wasn't married.
And God, we just had a great rapport. And so I asked her, I said, are you going through all the post-divorce yayas? And she said, what is that? And I said, well, cutting your hair, hanging out with crazy men, that kind of thing. She said, well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there?
Yeah.
And so I was never really great with women, and I did one of the gutsiest things I ever did, and I said, well, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
You know, and she's and so I took her out, and we got married a year to the day after we had our first date.
That's amazing. And that's so cute because that my husband and I did that too. A year to the day,
Did you really?
a year to the day that we met, we actually got married. So
Oh,
yeah.
that's fantastic.
Easy love stories, you guys. I love it. I'm a sucker for a good love story. So I think that's incredible. Yeah.
Okay, so did he propose to you in a neat way?
Honestly, he had been telling me since day one that he was going to marry me. It was just a statement for a long time. Just, I'm going to marry you often. I heard it often. And then, no, the actual real thing is we're just hanging out in bed with probably cartoons on the TV. Kids are running around, and that's how it happened. So,
Oh man,
yeah,
that's great.
it's perfect for me, you know? So it was great. First piece of jewelry he ever bought, he did a good job.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was great. So I want to ask you, because I think these are the moments that a lot of people don't understand when they see someone that's successful or they have it all figured out. I think they don't get the broad picture. They think, ah, oh, you just got lucky, or he caught a break, or if they just think it's you're lucky. That's the word, right? Like you're so lucky, but you had to rebuild. At one point, you had to rebuild your life from scratch. And I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about what it taught you about you.
Wow, that is such a big big deal, you know, because I've rebuilt my life from scratch in a lot of different ways. I was working as a lobbyist on the West Coast, and I got laid off, and I called my wife and I said, "I'm getting the package." And she said, "Oh, really?" She said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "You know, I just don't want to do it here. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I knew that I didn't want to work for anybody else. And I knew that the people I really admired had hung their own shingle." And so that led to, and I was also pretty good on my feet, and you know, I was a good public speaker and that kind of thing. So I thought training or motivational speaking would be it. And so we packed up a 19-foot travel trailer and spent a month and a half on the road, coming across from LA to North Carolina. And we settled just on the western shore of Lake Norman, and here we are, gone 27 years later. And so I started a business, and yesterday I couldn't spell consultant. Today I are one, and I started building a coaching practice. My wife worked for me a little while, and she left and finally got some stability. You know, the first 5 years were just tough. So I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about optimism and untethered optimism. You know, and you can feel optimistic about a lot of stuff, but I've got a poster on the wall that I've had for God, almost 40 years, and it says perseverance. And it says the harder you work, the luckier you get. And that's really true. And so, you know, in the early days of starting the business, it was doing everything I possibly could to get clients, to work with people, to get people to pay me, and slowly but surely, it paid off. And so it was kind of crazy. And then, you know, I was operating on all cylinders and traveling too much and working too hard. You know, 100-hour weeks were pretty regular. I was sleeping 5 hours a night, and I had the stroke, and God taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey,
Slow
you
down.
know, jerk, slow down." And you gotta listen to God when he says those kind of things. He taught me. I had to retool. And you know, I didn't have to get new clients. There was only one client that left me during the time. And it was about probably 3 months before I could finally get back to working with it. But you know, one of my things that had always been really good for me is the ability to read a lot of different topics and put ideas together. And coming out of the stroke, I really wasn't able to do that. And that's where I found the lathe. My wife bought me a lathe for Christmas, I set it up, and it was just kind of like magic. As I continued to work on the lathe, as you know, you work with the body movements and that kind of stuff, and a 30-pound piece of wood that's spinning and wants to take your head off, you start to learn, and I felt those neural pathways opening back up, and rewiring themselves, you know, I think they rewired stronger. Because that's allowed me to do things like put out the book. I've got another book that came out last week, and I've got another one coming out in October. And you know, I'm just I'm having fun.
I think that's amazing. I kind of want to talk about, because you know, you're in this period of you want to build this business, and that moment between the idea of wanting to build it and that time period before you actually have clients and things like that, like the quiet seasons of your life, I think are monumental. Why do you think so many people overlook the quiet seasons?
You know, I'll put it in a different frame. There are people that never pay the price for what they're doing. they dabble at it. They say, hey, I want to be in business for myself, but never pay the price to do it. There are some people who pay the price once or twice and think everything is supposed to come to them. And then there's other people that pay the price every day. And that really is paying the price every day. And it doesn't mean getting clients every day. It means doing the things that you need to do to get there. I'll tell you a quick story. It was about, I don't know, a year after I got into the business. I was failing fast. The mortgage, for some reason the bank really wanted the mortgage to be paid and that kind of thing. And so I was having a really rough time, and I went to the gas station, and I just looked up and I said, God, I said, I think I've been doing everything I need to be doing. Give me some kind of a sign. I mean, show me something.
Of course.
And just about that time, a guy stuck his head around the pump, and he said, hey, Chip, is that you? And it was a guy that I'd been trying to get in touch with. He'd been blowing me off for 6 months. He was the local city manager of the town that I lived in, and I'd been trying to get in and see him. And he made some smart aleck comment about paying for his gas since I lived in town. It's like, okay, I'm not paying enough taxes.
Right.
And I was about to come back with a snarky remark, and he said, can you be in my office tomorrow? I'd really like to talk about how we can work together.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's like, oh wow, and it was interesting. Right about then, things started to take hold. One of the first clients that I worked with, he had referred me to another one of his offices. They called and wanted to work together. There was a guy that I've been working with ever since that he called me and said, hey, listen, I am about to get a position that needs what you have. And so I can't tell you about it right now, but I'll give you a call. And things just started open. And it wasn't right away. It wasn't the heavens opened up and everything was great. But it was that sign.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And if we're willing and we're open, that's exactly what he does. Like he puts it right in front of us, you know. I'm looking at your shelf and I see the beautiful work that you're doing. So I do want to give some space for that today because you said that it's done more for you than a lot of other things have. So in that space with working with the wood, what is, I mean, just even working with your hands, like what is that teaching you? That thinking alone never could.
Well, first of all, it's my happy place. When I get to churning, I just pop on the tunes and just kind of zen out. It's that act of creation. It's getting a blank on the lathe and carving away the parts that aren't that they talk about artists that take a look at a block of granite and say, this is what needs to be taken away because the statue is already there. That's just the part that was removed, and that's very very close to it. But it provides a never-ending curiosity about different ways of doing things, different ways of creating the work, different ways of craftsmanship. You think you're good at it, and then you find out 12 other ways to do it. The joke among woodturners is, if you ask a woodturner what lathe to buy, or if you ask 20 woodturners what lathes to buy, you'll get 50 answers. And that's the part that I really like. I mean, there's better ways to do things, but there's no one way to do things. And in that space, that allows a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing people are pretty delighted about the pieces that I make for them. You know, I just made a pepper mill and sent it out to a friend of mine out in San Diego, and she's delighted, and it's going to be an heirloom. It's probably going to go to the kids when when that happens. And God, I'm just tickled to death. My nephew's kids are getting married now, and my nephew's kids are asking for bowls, or salad bowls, or pepper mills, or that kind of stuff for their wedding. And wow, is that a cool thing? There's a piece that will end up hopefully becoming an heirloom.
That's legacy building, like
Yeah.
grandkids generations down are going to be like, oh yeah, your great 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 grandpa made that. And I mean, I think that's amazing. Just even the creative part of this is that I think people really don't understand that we were born to create. And like building a business, that's very cool. But creation, I mean, it looks different for everybody. Some people work with their hands, or, I'm a writer. I do the podcast. That's my creation. I create this. I know that legacy is going to be there. I know my message is going to live forever. That's there. But I think any time that we're going to create is really part of us stepping into who we're meant to be. And that's where you do learn the real things about life. Like you learn about who you are and the things that are important. It helps you slow down. I'll say that too. Like you're in the moment. You said, can you explain what a lathe is for people that have no idea? 'Cause you're like, a piece of wood could fly off and kill you. So I'm thinking there's this dangerous, like the first of all, are you a thrill seeker?
So I'm going to share just real quickly. I've got a oh, sharing is not on. A lathe is a machine that has a power source at one end and a fixed spindle at the other end, and you put things in between it, and it spins them. And it's a really ancient craft. I mean, they found evidence of lathes going back couple thousand years, and I think there's even some hieroglyphs that show people working on a lathe. They've gotten a little bit more modern. They're electric machines now, but they turn a piece of wood, and you use chisels, different kinds of chisels, to carve away pieces of the wood, and that's what creates the bowl or the box, or all the different objects of art.
I mean, that's incredible. And it sounds like it would be a lot of fun. Probably not my cup of tea because I'm so not coordinated. Like, I couldn't draw a straight line on a piece of paper. So I think it's amazing
You
that.
know, you may be surprised. And one of the things I do, because I can't help myself, is I teach. In fact, this weekend I'm teaching Wood Turning 101, and so there's five people that have never turned before, and are going to walk into the studio, and by the time they walk out, they'll have made something. And isn't that cool? That they're able to make something with their hands. And it doesn't matter whether you're really coordinated or not. It just matters that you're willing to go with the flow. And I have a funny feeling from the little I know about you that you're probably going to be pretty good at wood turning. So,
We'll see.
just find a studio, or find a wood turning class, and go for it.
I'll try anything once. That's an honest thing I can say is that I'll try anything once. What has
You'll get hooked.
the working with the lathe, how can you see that reflecting in who you are as a coach and how you work with your clients? Has it changed how you approach things, how you view the experience?
Yeah, and so the book that just came out is the subtitle is Reflections on Life, Love, and the Lathe. And you don't often hear life and love and lathe all put in the same sentence, alliteration beside. But I see so many parallels, because just like taking a look at a forest. Most people see an amorphous blob of trees, and I see the cherry or the walnut or the maple or the sycamore or the hickory. I see the different the different species, and I think, oh wow, how cool would that be? And I see these massive trees, and I think, wow, there's a lot of bulls in there.
Yeah.
And so, the parallel is just the way we see people. We see people more in terms of the groups that they are rather than the individuals, and taking the time to get to know the individuals. And some wood is really good to turn, some wood is not. Pine is not a particularly wonderful wood to turn. In fact, southern yellow pine is pretty messy to turn. But other woods are really great to turn, like maple or cherry. And some people are going to come into your life and be a part of it. Everybody has their bumps and bruises. Everybody has their scars. Everybody has their stories. And the one thing I've found out as a coach over the years, and I'm sure you know this from just talking to so many people, you never know what somebody's going through. And I do this thing in coaching, but also I run a number of classes for leadership. And I do this thing called a personal histories exercise. And the personal histories exercise, it asks questions like, where are you from? Where did you grow up? What are some unique and difficult challenges as a child? And I'm gobsmacked by the incredible diversity of people. And they could grow up across the street, but they didn't grow up in the same household. So they're completely different. And you would never know by looking at them. And it's the same way with wood turning. You never know what you're going to get until you start to carve into the wood. And sometimes wood is absolutely spectacular, and it's such a surprise. And sometimes wood, is just kind of plain, and you got to embellish it. But it's very similar to relationships. It's very similar to people, and the parallels are there.
I think that's incredible, the insight that you have to that. What do you think people get wrong about purpose and meaning?
They think that purpose and meaning is outside of themselves. They think the purpose is some grandiose thing that's going to come and hit them in the head and say, it goes back to that's big things versus small things. Purpose is your responsibilities. And so if you had to define success for me, for you, or not for me, but for you, Brandon, how would you define success for you? What is success for you?
It's changed now because I used to define it the same way everyone else did, the big bank account, the accolades, the fans, and now success for me is like, did I wake up and steward my relationship with Christ to the highest potential I have? And that's success. And it's one day at a time. Am I leaving a legacy for my kids? Am I being the best, version of myself? Do I like that reflection in the mirror? That's success, being able to do all the things I do and homeschool my kids and, steward just even my influence on them, and that's success. It's completely flipped. And my success will never be someone else's. It just can't. It's the most personal experience I think anyone can have.
And that is exactly it. So when you take a look at meaning and purpose, really you have to define your success. And then your success is going to help understand what meaning and purpose is. And I never hear the big house, the big car, the big boat, I always hear great family, happy partner or spouse. Financial stability I hear, but I don't see, I want to be rich. I never hear that. And so I think it's really interesting because then it leads to purpose. So, my purpose is really simple. I live to develop people. And I love purpose statements that are very simple. I live to blank blank. And mine is to develop people to be the best they can be. But it's people, it's not others, because I have to do what I need to do to be the best I can be so I can help others be the best I can be. Because I can't give what I don't have. You talk about people on a faith journey. Look at Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa worried for 30 years that she was not pious enough, which is really a selfish thing to be thinking about. It's like, look, can I take care of myself well enough to be able to take care of the people around me, to help them develop? That's why I do the wood turning classes. I'm president of the North Carolina Woodturners Association, and that sounds a lot more impressive than it is. That's why I do all that stuff is because I just, I want to help people be the best they can be. And
Absolutely.
that's my purpose.
Yeah, I love that. I have two more questions for you.
Okay.
And the first one is, if anything, the show has taught me so much about the fact that I'm still a student. Like I'm still learning, and I love that. So my question for you now is like, what are you still learning in your own life right now?
Oh, do you ever stop?
Do what?
Do you ever stop? Warren Buffett. So you know who Warren Buffett is. Warren Buffett, I think he's 93 years old. He was giving an interview recently, and he asked the question, when is it that I get old? When do we get old? And I think you get old when you stop asking questions, when you stop learning, when you stop being curious. One of my favorite little snippets is Ted Lasso, when he's discussing curiosity, and he talks about seeing something on a school wall by Walt Whitman that said, "Be curious, not judgmental." And curiosity will keep you young. Curiosity, when you lose curiosity and you flip over to judgmentalism, think about all the opportunities you miss when you're judgmental. I just read recently something that talks about how attractive it is to be defenseless rather than defensive. Well, defensive is judgmental. Defenseless is being curious. It's saying, "Hey, I don't know. So let's figure it out together."
My favorite statement, I don't know. I don't know a lot of things. There's so much I don't know, and there's never going to be enough time for us to learn everything. And I think that you're spot on with that, in that if you're not trying to learn the next thing or grow, there really is no point. So you may as well just be old. Old in the definition of what's next, it's
I never want to get to be that person that sits around and watches Jeopardy. And I don't want to be that person.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. I'm breaking some cycles of people that have lived like that, and that I love that so much, because I want to encourage everybody to not want to be that person, like all walks of life, all ages, everyone is still creating, everyone that I get to meet, and it's, collecting those stories, all of this, it's just been amazing. So I'm going to ask you one more question to leave the audience with, and then once you answer, definitely tell us where to get your books, where to get resource for
Okay.
your website, all the things. But if everything external, and I mean, I know your answer, Chip. Okay. So this is for the listeners. If everything external, your titles, your work, your recognition, all of it is gone tomorrow, who are you without it?
What am I without it? Just me. I think that goes back to, do I want to be famous? I think at some time in my life I might have been wanting to be famous, and I did radio and TV back in the day, and I think you just get so caught up in that you can never get away from it. And so I'm just me. I just, you know. I want to be the best husband and father I can possibly be.
I get that. I get that right now, because in my current season, I don't have the external titles or work or the recognition. I don't have all the things, and I've never been happier. like who I am that
Well,
you're here.
yeah, and ask somebody asks you the question, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so how do you answer that?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, I steward my relationship with Christ. That's what I do. And I do that in everything I do. So that's my mission. Do
That's
that.
a great one.
And I bring as many people as I can with me. So that's amazing. This conversation is so great, and we are up at our time. So I'm going to ask you, please tell us where we can find all your stuff, where we could get resourced.
Both books, Small Decisions, Big Shifts, Navigating Life on Your Terms, and Every Dog Has Its Day. They're both on Amazon. They are on several audiobook platforms as well. They're not an Amazon audiobook, but they are on Spotify. If you got a Spotify subscription, you can download the book for free. BarnesandNoble.com, Kobo.com. There's a number of audiobook platforms that it's on. You can check with me in my website, and here's a freebie. So if you go to my website, which is scholzandassociates.com, Scholz and associates, all spelled out, .com, and go to books, and then under books, it says, what's Chip reading? There's about 140 books in there, and I add books all the time, and I've reviewed them, and so it's my opinion about the book. You may not agree,
Yeah.
but just it's that's a freebie, and I love reading. I read quite a bit, and I would love to share the reading with whoever wants it. And there are all kinds of great book suggestions in there, and all you have to do is just look. And it's a searchable database.
Perfect. That's amazing. We
Yeah.
are in the show notes, you guys. Chip, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think makes you special because it's not the coaching, it's not the books, not even the experience, not even the tangible wooden artifacts on your shelf. It is the fact that you slowed down long enough to actually pay attention, that you did something intentional in a very conscious space to rewire your brain to create that neuroplasticity to be able to take yourself out of whatever circumstance you were in and learn to create, not just create the life that you love, the life that you're building, but to be able to help other people create and to curate that. You know, a lot of people, they're rushing, they're chasing, they're filling their lives with noise, and they're missing everything that's shaping them. And you didn't do that. Like, you're willing to sit in the quiet, to rebuild, to work with your hands, to learn from the small moments that people ignore. And I just feel like that takes humility, and that's rare. And the fact that you are bringing people with you, that everything you're doing in this life, you're translating that for other people to step into their potential. You're a light on a path. And that's the truth. The meaningful life isn't built in the big flashy moments. It's built in the ones that nobody is clapping for, and you live that. And I think that's what makes you special. And to everyone listening, you don't need the massive moment to change your life. Like, you're already in it. You're in the human experience. You came here to feel the things, to experience the things right now, and the small decisions you're making, the way that you're showing up, and the things that you're choosing to ignore, or the things that you're leaning into. That is your arena. And God didn't create you to rush through your life missing all of that. He created you to live in your highest potential, to pay attention, to grow with intention, and to bring other people with you when you do. Don't underestimate this. Your mess is your message, okay? Stop waiting for the big moment. You're already in it. If this episode hit you, please subscribe. Make sure you share it and send it to someone who needs it. And then please drop a review. I do love the stars. I'm never going to be mad about a star, but it really, the show reaches more people if you could just leave a couple words. It takes less than 2 minutes. And if you're ready to step into the arena, come sit in the hot seat and tell me why you're special. Chip, I really, absolutely, this conversation has been a pleasure and a joy. And thank you so much for speaking to my audience.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely.